Hello, my name is Jonathan Freebert, and we're very excited to have with us today Mark Hill. We've shared Mark's bio out with you, but Mark is responsible for building Microsoft's business around the open source ecosystem, and so we're very excited to have him talk about the business opportunities for partners in that space. For those of you who are new to VFI, if this is your first time joining, just very briefly, VFI is a Microsoft-supported community of technology leaders and entrepreneurs, and we try to work with you to keep you informed about public policy issues that are impacting the partner ecosystem, IT. And we also like to bring webinars both about public policy issues and business opportunities for partners. And so, again, we're very excited to have Mark Hill with us today. And Mark, I will turn it over to you.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. And to everyone else, thank you very, very much for joining this call today and for partnering with us in the industry. I've been at Microsoft 22 years, and I've really enjoyed working at Microsoft because of the expanse of this business and just the exciting stuff we've done over the last 22 years. But I can tell you, I am super excited to be leading this new business for Microsoft, and it's a very, very, very different business. And at Microsoft, working with open source software and building a business around open source, and so I'm excited to be here today to tell you what we're doing, and to talk to you about the opportunities you have to work with us on this as well. So, just before we get going, I thought it would be good to have a quick poll, and then to see what everybody thinks about Microsoft and open source. So, if you look at your screens, you should be seeing a couple of questions popped up, or a question popped up. And I'd love to get your views from all the participants. Is would you say Microsoft is a company that embraces open source software? And you know, do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you somewhat agree? And so it's interesting to see what everybody says. Right now, I would say somewhat agree is kind of leading the race with, I'm not sure, 17 to 20% are saying don't think so, and you know, clearly, because I'm here on this call, there's a number of you that say, well, I agree, because why would I be on the call? But it's interesting to get that profile. And I think it's similar to what I see when I talk to customers and partners elsewhere in the world. They say, well, I'm not sure anymore. I'm hearing things in the press. I'm seeing a lot. But I don't quite understand why. And that's exactly what this presentation today is all about. It's about explaining to you what are we doing around open source, why we're doing it, and what is the opportunity for us to work together around open source and Microsoft. So to start off, I would like to just very briefly give you an overview of how we look at openness and what is our open approach at Microsoft. And I'd say there's three key things, because it's not just about open source software per se. So when we look at openness, we say, firstly, we've got a, you know, openness at the core of it is about being open, about connecting with others. It's collaborating with others. It's working in an open environment. And in that sense, at Microsoft, we've been doing a lot of work, and the rest of the presentation today will show you everything we're doing around building a cloud that's open, building a cloud environment that allows anybody who's building open source software to participate in that cloud. We are working very deeply with the open source community and integrating with community efforts, participating in communities. You know, we're putting a lot of money behind that. And also open standards. At Microsoft, we believe we've got to adhere to all the open standards and connect to them and make them available in our products and participate properly. And today, I will give you a lot more details in this area. And a lot of you will be fairly surprised just how deep we've worked to be open and collaborative in the open sense. Our second one is about transparency, and this is not about open source per se or open software. This is about saying when we run our business, let's be open about how we run our business. And it's very relevant in the cloud business, where we where it's highly relevant for us to be able to explain who has access to your data in the cloud, what are our processes in the cloud, where do we store your data around the world in the cloud. We're very, very, very open about our processes, which governments and which law enforcement bodies have access to that, how we prevent that from happening, and how we deal with these different issues around the world. And that's about being open so that you know what to expect and you know how to work with Microsoft with your data, and about providing security, putting all the right processes in place at a huge cost to make sure that your data is always secure. And it's being transparent about that. We think that's very, very important in the new world. And then lastly, opening an opportunity. We've always been a company that works, that has stimulated local economies, worked through a partner channel. It's a key part of the Microsoft business. We will continue to do that. And especially in the new world, as you see us becoming more open with the kind of products we build and the technologies that we put in our cloud, we want to make sure that we have the programs in place to help you, partners, and anybody else participate in that process and that growth that we're seeing at Microsoft. So it's about building open software and building open services and collaborating with open standards. It's about being open and transparent about how we run our business and then being open in the opportunity. And that's broadly our approach to open source. So if we move ahead and say, let's have a look at what has been our history in terms of open source involvement. And after today's presentation, you would say, wow. I think and I hope you'll say, wow, Microsoft's doing a lot in open source. But this really started a long time ago, and admittedly, a small part a long time ago, but we really started on this journey a long time ago, way back in the early days, even as early as 2004, when we started releasing some open source code. And as you can see on this timeline that's on the screen right now, we've started, we launched CodePlex. It's a Microsoft environment where you can open source Microsoft-based open source code back in 2006. And, we've made a number of announcements. Hadoop, when we started contributing heavily to Hadoop, and our Azure, our Azure HD Insight service is a Hadoop service. It's an open source service that we provide, or a product that's built on open source. And we contributed very heavily to the Linux kernel over the years, making our hypervisor compatible with Linux. And you can see all of the announcements we've done. Recently, we created MS OpenTech, which is a subsidiary of Microsoft that is purely dedicated to writing code that is for open source projects, code that is contributed into open source projects, and so forth. And if you've been watching the news in the last year, we've made an incredible number of announcements around taking some of our products and putting them in the open source world, like Visual Studio .NET, for example. We've open sourced that into. We've worked with getting the Open JDK. We've been contributing to that, etc. So right now, when you actually have a look at all the work that our company is doing around open source projects, we have about 1,600 OS open source projects that we're contributing in on CodePlex and GitHub, and that is increasing as we bring more services and products onto our cloud platform around open source. You'll see more and more and more engagement with that. So a little bit of detail. Why are we doing this? Well, firstly, for cloud apps. We are, the kind of range of stuff that we do open source work around is fairly extensive. Making sure we have all of the right open source products and features and interfaces in our cloud environment to the rest of the world. We are doing work, for example, with Redis, and our cache environment on Azure is built on Redis, etc. When it comes to data, we do an incredible amount of work making sure that all of the data environments, databases like Mongo, etc., Hadoop, that we can provide the right environments on our cloud for those users of those data environments. At a device perspective, making sure that all of the different devices, whether it's an iOS or an Android device or a Windows device, can access the rich back-end services on our cloud, regardless of the front-end platform. And you've seen us do a lot of work there, making it easier to move things across device platforms. From a DevOps world, where you've seen recently, we've done some announcements with Chef. We've worked very closely with Puppet and others, Jenkins, etc., to put the right open source DevOps environment into our cloud environment, so that whether you're building software with .NET or Visual Studio, whether you're using it, for example, in Eclipse or any other environment, you can work and in any development environment, you can use any programming language, and you can publish and manage your code in a DevOps way to the Microsoft Cloud environment. And so too with Open Web, we contribute a huge amount to that. And on VMDepot, that's the on our cloud, VMDepot is a place where you and other partners can, and the community can put a, you can build an image you know, with whatever software you want, and then you can place it into VMDepot. Others can use that image, and we put a lot of effort in helping partners build those images in VMDepot. So, and a lot of this, the work we do, yeah, gets contributed back into the source code of these open source projects, and it goes into the core foundations, and then it gets exposed into whatever distributions get created out of that core foundation. So when we look at, so let's take a step back and say, well, why is Microsoft doing this? What is Microsoft's business now? It's changing. So what is our business, and then what are we doing with open source to make that specific business happen? Well, first of all, we've been very clear in the last year or two about what we're doing in our future. We're very clear that we're a company that builds that wants to focus on productivity, and we're a platform company that builds productivity environments for the mobile and cloud first world. Mobile first and cloud first. So everything we're doing, we realize it's where customers and users want to be is mobile first and cloud first, and we believe we've got a rich heritage around productivity, and so we will continue to focus on making people at work and at home more productive. And we're a platform company that allows productivity to happen. And so you'll see the little circle in the center. We kind of say we will build this cloud operating system environment that covers public cloud and private cloud and on-premise cloud and service provider cloud and hybrid cloud. We will build a cloud environment, and then we will go and create a series of device operating system and hardware, and we'll bring it all together and focus on building digital work and life experiences around productivity. And now to do that, we will, in order for us to be able to participate with customers and work with customers in their environments, we've got to focus on this heterogeneous environment that customers have. And so you'll see as I go through the rest of the presentation, that's why we're focusing on open source so heavily moving forward. So before I jump into open source specifically, let's just talk a little bit about our momentum around our business cloud, the stuff that we do for businesses in the cloud. And a lot of people don't know just how massively our cloud environment has grown over the last few years. You know, Office 365 is our productivity service, and that has experienced triple-digit customer growth since we launched it in FY 2009. That's been a massive growth for us, and it's you know, every single month, more and more customers move from an on-premise environment with Office, Exchange, and SharePoint, and move into a cloud service environment. And we've got millions and millions and millions of users there. It's probably the biggest SaaS service in the world right now. You know, more than half of the Fortune 500 are Microsoft Azure users, our cloud platform, Azure. And we'll talk a lot about Azure in the rest of this presentation. You know, we're adding 1,000 new customers every day to Azure. That's a massively grown cloud platform. Our revenue there is increasing 150% year on year. And we provide cloud services in over 100 different markets. And that's the one thing. You'll often hear about cloud providers talk about these global clouds, but we really do global cloud, including China. We provide first-party services in China, and it's a tough market to provide first-party services in, but we've mastered how to do that. And we provide cloud services to markets all around the world where a lot of the other providers wouldn't do it because it doesn't make sense in some cases from the size of the business. But Microsoft has a very large global business, and we will map our on-premise business when it comes to cloud. Dynamics CRM is a very popular cloud service as well, and growing very rapidly. So we're a big cloud business. There's no doubt about that. And we're very fortunate that we're moving so rapidly from an on-premise business into a cloud business through our traditional productivity and platform services. So when we look ahead and afford, we say, well, why move into an open source environment? Why all this investment? Why all these announcements, Microsoft? Well, the thing is, when we look at providing services to customers, it's not just about providing them services for the Microsoft piece of what they're doing. It's about their landscape. What do customers have today? And if we want to be the cloud provider for our customers, we have to be able to provide environments that cover Microsoft and the other environments as well. And customers have a mixture of technologies, and over time, they've acquired these. Depending on what the when they were making a decision to acquire technology, they would have gone and done a survey and done worked on a strategy and acquired the whatever software they've decided to acquire. And so when you look at the market, we all know it's very heterogeneous and it's very diverse. And if we want to be the trusted cloud provider to our customers, we have to be a trusted provider for everything, not just Microsoft. And that is the essence of why my team is being built, is to make sure that we understand the rest of the market, we understand what the rest of the industry is doing, and that we can build the back-end infrastructure to make sure that we integrate with all of the broader heterogeneous environment, and then come to customers and say, let us show you how to put this together. Let us show you how to use Node.js to build to script websites, and let's run those websites on Azure because that'll give you the lowest cost and the highest scalability. You use a lot of MongoDB. Great. Well, let's show you how we can do replication and how we can do much better backup and restore of that, how we can do more security around MongoDB by putting it on Azure. Let's talk about scalability, for example. And so, whether you're running Linux or whether you're running Windows, we've got a cloud platform that can help you manage that. And that's what customers are looking for. They're looking for someone to help them figure out how to move to the cloud, not one workload, but their entire environment, and make a decision about what moves to the cloud and what stays on premise. And for us to be able to be that provider, we've got to be able to master everything. So you have probably seen from our CEO, Satya Nadella, he's made some very clear statements about our intent. He said Microsoft Azure is an open cloud, and he's made some comments that every single time he does a public announcement or a public address, he talks very freely about the work we're doing around openness and open source. And it's because it's just good business for us. It doesn't matter if you're using an Android phone or a Mac or whatever front-end device. We want to make sure that we can cater. Customers can cater for all those environments when they use the Microsoft Cloud. And so we've got to be able to integrate and build software that allows our productivity experiences to go across those environments. And you've recently seen us actually release Outlook and release a whole bunch of the traditional Microsoft Office front ends on all of those new devices for exactly this reason. Now, before I jump into the details here, let me ask you the next question. What do you think? Let me just bring it up. What percentage of all the virtual machines that run on Azure today run Linux? So, on our cloud environment with Azure, we have millions and millions and millions of virtual machines. What percentage do you think run Linux versus Windows? in the Microsoft Azure environment. And so here we're seeing 30% say more than 50%. That's an interesting one. Others are saying 30 to 50. No one's saying 0 to 10%. That's quite promising. And, it's very interesting to get your feedback here. So, well, the answer is, just to let you know, the answer is 22% of all the compute hours that are consumed by Azure come directly from a Linux operating system. Now, those applications that run, the Linux environments that make up 22% of the compute hours suck up services on the rest of Azure that make up many, many, many more hours. But the actual Linux code running on an Azure core is 22% of all of the VMs. And the interesting thing here is that we know we have to move that number up dramatically for us to mimic what's in the market. Most of the poll there was about, 30 to 50 or 50% plus. And I think the reason why our audience is saying that today is because that's what the market is. And so we realize we need to get to that level once we get Azure, where 50% of everything that runs on Azure is based on Linux. Then we know that we're meeting customers' need because that's what the market demand is. And you could say, is it 40, is it 60, is it 70, is it 30? It doesn't matter. It's a large amount. And so that's what we're going in. We every single day, my team looks at that percentage, and we look at the number of hours consumed by Linux, the number of hours consumed by Windows, and we make sure that we do everything we can to provide customers with all the features they need so that we can increase that Linux amount. So let's start off a little bit more detail. What do we do on Azure to provide services for the open source ecosystem? If you look at this slide here, we provide a lot of first-party services directly into Azure, and then we work with the ecosystem to add more features. And that's why we said earlier it's an open environment, and we work very closely with partners who want to build environments on Azure and provide open source environments on Azure. We do some ourselves, and in other cases, we work with the ecosystem. And starting at an operating system level, all the major open source and Linux environments we support, up through to a management layer, through to databases. We provide a first-party Hadoop service called HD Insight. We clearly provide SQL Server as well. Devices, we will provide device, out of Azure, we provide environments that allow Android and iOS devices and Windows Phone devices to automatically create code and be a great participant and a client into Azure with some great features there, actually mobile services on Azure. Whether it's content management or apps, we've done a lot of work bringing WordPress and Joomla and Drupal as there's a very popular content management environments as a first-party service under Azure. And then clearly every single kind of language that developers use today. And interestingly enough, the work we're doing around Docker, I think, is actually quite leading in the market. We've announced a lot of work around Docker. We are very heavily investing into that technology. And you've seen some announcement from Microsoft, and we want to make sure that we're on the forefront as containerization versus virtualization, as containerization becomes more popular, that at Microsoft you can use whatever style of containerization you want to in a very easy way on our cloud platform. So this just shows you the extent, and we continue to add this all the time. When you look at our Azure roadmap, it's all about enabling non-Microsoft products and features and standards onto Azure. And every month we have new announcements of things that we're rolling out here. So what we're also doing, and this would be interesting for you if you're interested in working with Microsoft on actually driving the open source on Azure business, we have some key plays that we built this per se. So we've taken all of these open source environments that exist on Azure, and we've kind of distilled them down into six relatively simple, easy to sell and implement plays that can, you know, if you're interested in starting to get going, I would pick on one of these things to start building a business. Whether it's building web apps, open source web apps on Azure and using Azure Active Directory, we've got we can help you get going there. We've got a description of how to do that. We've got some advice for you. We've got some documentation that allows you, you know, it shows you how to get going there. In the dev and test environment, we've got a great opportunity to help customers with their broad dev test environment, whether it's a .NET and a Windows environment, or whether it's say a Java on Linux environment. Customers want to be able to test software, spin up thousands of servers to test software in different environments, and then, you know, pull down those servers and redeploy them in a different way to test a different version of the software. And that's a perfect environment for a public cloud like Azure. And we've got a great environments with the Oracle supported Java development kit. We did a big deal with Oracle where they would provide first party support through Azure for Java, for the Java development kit. And so it's a really a deep integration with Java. When it comes to a lift and shift with Linux, we bought a company called InMarge, which is a service that helps you move Linux applications that are on premise today and package them up in a really cool way, in a really simple way, and then move it into Azure. We've done a lot of work with SAP on HANA, and that's an expensive environment to build to test applications, but we provide that on Azure. HANA on Linux on Azure, and you can spin up 1,000 machines, and then a couple of days later bring them down. So you're not held onto the overhead of both the license, secondly the infrastructure. So, and then lastly, just modernizing. There's a bunch of customers out there that got a lot of Microsoft stuff and a little bit of Linux stuff, and hey, while they're busy upgrading their data centers right now, moving to maybe a new version of Windows because there's the Windows Server 2003 end of life approaching. Hey, if you're a partner, why don't you say, hey, I can upgrade your Windows Server 2003s, move them up to Azure, and I can do the same to Linux. Just kind of help clean up. And so these are simple, relatively easy to execute plays that it's a great way to start if you want to get going on Azure with Linux and open source software. And we're adding more and more of these scenarios every week. We recently just did a lot of work with Moodle, which is if you think about it, it's a education content management environment, and that's a great play if you're in the education world. And so we're adding more and more of these all day long. So let's talk a little bit about partner opportunity with Microsoft. Now we know we've done some work to do a study that says there's a lot of, as the world moves, as customers move into this cloud environment, where is the partner opportunity? And we think that there is about a $300 billion, there's a $2 trillion business for partners over the next 10 years. But really, when you break that down, we think there's, going to business leaders and talking to them about cloud systems of record. Those would be horizontal and vertical applications per se that run businesses. We think that's about a $300 billion. Implementing those solutions is about a $300 billion business. These would be, ERP systems, store management systems, key systems that business leaders use to run a business. We think that there is a much greater $700 billion business around helping customers get hold of their users and their customers, which is systems of engagement, solutions and apps for end users. So providing services, the mobile services or services to allow customers to interface with users, to interface with their suppliers, allowing large organizations to get hold of all of their customers and consumers around the world, providing access to citizens, providing an environment for governments to give citizen access to citizen data, for example. That's all systems of engagement. and business users realize that that's quite a driver in their business, a competitive driver. And we think that's a big business, $700 billion. And then there's even a larger business there, a $900 billion business, working with core infrastructure at organizations that are retooling their business to be a cloud environment. And so whether it's on the cloud system of records, whether it's systems of engagement with users, or whether it's doing core IT, building cloud infrastructure, there's a massive, massive opportunity moving forward. And at Microsoft, we'd like to work with you on every one of these. It's from left to right. So when you look at it, we say, well, why work with Microsoft in this open source environment? Well, simplest thing is, when you look at whether it's just simply selling software and getting a, if your business is about selling software and you're an advisor and we pay you a fee to help sell and license our software or our services to customers, it's not just about the Microsoft stuff, it's also about the open source side. And so you can go to a customer and say, hey, I can help you with your Linux servers or your open source solution here. I can help you with your Microsoft stuff. There's a bigger business around building and implementing business scenarios, would be big data, whether it be a mobile solution, for example. And in order to implement a real life solution, we know there's Microsoft's software there and services, but there's also open source software and services. And so, for you to provide a complete solution to the customer, by working with both Microsoft and open source software, you can really, provide them the whole environment. And so too with managed services. And lastly, by building IP solutions that are repeatable, more like an ISV service, by including Microsoft and open source software, you can address all of your customers' needs, and it's a bigger pie for you to go after. And you can choose where on this level of complexity you want to be. At the left-hand side, it's less complexity, but there's more opportunity than the right-hand side. And we're happy to work with you across the board, yeah, both at the Microsoft side and at the open source side. And so we think this is a compelling value proposition for you to help build the business moving forward. And then, so lastly, just to summarize before we open for question and answers, if you want to know more, please go to our site, Microsoft.com/open source. We talk a lot there about what we're doing, and visit that site, come back, because we do a lot of announcements there. We've got a great blog that we talk about all the announcements we're doing and what's happening. We've got a great, if you want to get notification from us, join our Twitter account. If you go to our site, you'll be able to see our Twitter account there. Microsoft Openness Twitter account, and consider building your open source cloud business on Azure. We know that you have a choice, but we think on Azure we've got some really, really cool things that are unique, and that together with Microsoft and open source, you can provide a unique mix of services for your customers. And then go back to customers and talk to them about their entire cloud needs, not just Microsoft. And we'd love to help you do that. We're learning every day how to do it better, but this is a journey we're on. We're not stepping back from this. This is our strategy moving forward. We want to be the platform and productivity company in a mobile first and cloud first world. Nowhere there did I say Microsoft only. It's the platform and productivity company in a cloud first and a mobile first world. That means we've got to do Microsoft first party services and open source services as well. And that's what we're doing. So with that, let me start asking, move to some question and answers. And so I'll start away just by answering the question I just saw from Kathy Perez. Your question, Kathy, was, I've heard that Microsoft has invested more than AWS in data centers to support Azure platform. Can you please confirm that? Well, I personally right now, I don't know if we invested more or less, but I can tell you we have invested billions and billions and billions, and we continue to do that every year, building data centers. So whether we're bigger than an AWS or not, I don't know. I'm sure somebody at Microsoft can do that, and I'm happy to follow up with. But we have built data centers around the world. If you go to our Azure site, you'll get the details of that, Microsoft.com/Azure. We have built, we have invested billions into building data centers around the world. at least at par with AWS. Let me put it that way. Massive, massive data centers. And if you look at the size of our cloud businesses that I showed you earlier with Office 365, CRM Online, those data centers do all of that and Azure. So we have done in massive investments. And it's not just data centers, it's content delivery networks, it's staging environments, it's networking environments, billions and billions and billions. We're probably one of the four largest consumers of hardware in the world, by far. We build data centers with 100,000 servers at a time, not less. So it just shows you the amount that we invest in. We build massive data centers. So let's open up for other question and answers.
And this is Jonathan, and if you want to ask a question, please just unmute your phone and just identify who you are and ask your question. And I see we have someone else typing an IM as well. But feel free to ask questions. There's the question just came up, Mark, if you want to
Yeah,
answer that one.
so Glenn had a good question. Yeah, it sounds to me that Microsoft is using the term open source to describe interoperability rather than open sourcing its own code. And can you confirm if Azure is open source or has open source SDKs? So it's a very good question. So let's separate out the method of building software being open source, meaning source code is freely available and people contribute in a structured way, and then anybody can take that code and build a distribution and etc. So the way of building software is open source. And then secondly, being open, meaning interoperability. And then I would say third is providing environments that open source software can run. And I would say Microsoft does all three. Now, just to be clear, we some of our software we decide is better to be placed in an open source environment in a true traditional open source way. For example, .NET we've recently put out there and others because we feel it will be it's a better environment for a heterogeneous ecosystem to continue to build. So that's where we put .NET. And some software we will build in a proprietary way, just like others do. So some will put out into the open source environment, some will do proprietary. So that's from a software development point of view, what we do. From a Azure point of view, it's a cloud service. It's not an, you know, is no, we run Azure. It's not something that you can run somewhere else, but we'll make sure that Azure is completely open with SDKs and others, so that open source software is a first-class citizen. Linux is a first-class citizen. Java is a first-class citizen on that as well. And then lastly, we'll make sure that the software we do build, like Office and others, has all the right interoperability so that it can connect with other products and run on other platforms like iOS and Android. So it's all of that. We're not saying we're going to make all of Microsoft code open source, but we certainly, in our book of business, some of the stuff we do is open source. A good example would be Hadoop. Instead of Microsoft building a big data proprietary product, we decided to take Hadoop. We'll add to it. We'll commit to features. We'll put things back into Hadoop, and we'll publish that as a service and call it HD Insight. Okay? Just like Oracle does that, IBM does that, others do it. And that's what we're doing moving forward. Question, what's the relationship between Microsoft Open Technologies and my team? My team is responsible for sales and marketing around our open source technologies and helping the Microsoft field and partners talk to customers about how to build a business, how to use open source technologies on Microsoft's cloud, and to promote that and to do sales and marketing of the open source business. Microsoft Open Technologies is a group that builds software and actually writes code and contributes to open source foundations, for example, and open source distributions. Okay. So another question. given the investments in the open source, investments in the Office file formats, Visual Studio platform, Azure infrastructure, etc., what's next? Where are the opportunities for the next open source leverage for Microsoft to take advantage of? That's a good question. You know, I think it's got to come back to the statement I made at the start. What is Microsoft's core business? Microsoft's core business is all about, we're a platform and a productivity company, and we want to be the platform and productivity company in a cloud-first and mobile-first world. So all of our investments and all the things we want to do is to say, what do we need to add to our portfolio that helps us expand our productivity platform or expand our cloud platform to make it better for a mobile and a cloud-first world? And so you'll see things like recently we just acquired a company that allows us to bring Outlook onto iOS devices, for example, or Android devices. And so that's, you know, that's where we keep adding things from a productivity place. From a platform place, you'll see us do things that make it easier for developers to build solutions on Azure in open source, using open source or using Java or using Node.js or whatever, to be able to deploy software to our cloud environments. That's where all of our investments are going. How soon can we reach 50% of Azure? Well, I don't know how soon. Let's hope, you know, the sooner the better, because I would say the demand, you know, the question is how soon can we reach 20% of the VMs or Linux today, 22%, 23%, for example. How soon do we think we'll reach 50%? Well, I don't know, but the way I look at it is that if the demand for public cloud today is about 50% on you know, Linux and open source environments and 50% Windows environment, until we are doing 50%, we're losing market share on our cloud platform. And so the sooner, the better. And so this is not a statement about whether users want to use Windows or users want to use open source. It's what it is today. And we must, you know, we'd love to get our fair share of that business. So we're hoping sooner than later. Okay. Doug had a good question here. Doug Levine said, on the public policy front, are you still seeing governments mandating the use of giving preferences to open source? Does Microsoft's evolving approach to open source better enable Microsoft to engage in these discussions? Are mandates a growing or a dwindling trend? That's worth a whole hour of discussion. Clearly we still see around the world some governments, and it's really at a national government level, but normally we see provinces or states or somebody say, hey, you know, I don't want to spend money on software anymore, so let's just go open source. And, you know, I can understand that. It's normally done in a political sense. It's trying to show how you save money. And so we still see that now and then. But by and large, we manage to engage properly and say, well, let's have a look at you know, you're talking about you don't want to spend money on software. Today, stuff's delivered by the cloud. So if you want a cloud service, you know, it doesn't matter if it's open source or proprietary, you're going to pay for the cloud service. And so it's never, you know, free is not the issue anymore. It's not about free or not free. It's about privacy, security, access. And that's where we need to talk about it. And, you know, most people say, well, hold on, you know, where is my data stored? Where is the privacy? Where is the security? And we do a very good job explaining that to governments. And so that helps. And secondly, as we start building more and more of this environment around open source, we are perceived as a more open company. So, you know, that edge has been really changed. The impression of Microsoft by government elites and influencers has changed a lot. And so it's not about Microsoft versus open source. That is history. That's gone. It's about what's the best value. And is that delivered by a Microsoft cloud solution or a cloud solution from someone else? And, you know, none of that's really free anymore. It's about privacy and security. So
thank you. Yes, thank you, Mark. This is a really, really great webinar. Really appreciate your time. If there are other questions, I put into the IM that, please email them to me, jfreeb@microsoft.com. I will follow up with everyone once we load in this webinar into our Channel 9, so you can get a link to that as well. And then finally, I just want to make a quick VFI plug about some legislation in Congress. I have the Action Center up. Hopefully it's big enough on my screen. It's a little small, but there's legislation in Congress. Since we were talking so much about cloud and privacy and security, there's legislation in Congress to update our laws as it pertains to government search and the privacy and security of digital communications from cloud computing services. So if you're in the cloud, if you use cloud services, if you're building your business in the cloud, this legislation is a big deal. So we have an action center that makes it very easy for you to write your members of Congress, both your senators and your U.S. rep. And I encourage you to check this out, learn more about this issue, and then participate in letting your legislators know about this. We will have some other webinars as well coming up. So if you're not on our VFI email list, I encourage you to join www.voicesforinnovation.org, and you'll get notified about these presentations. So, Mark, thank you again for this great presentation, this great topic. Very much appreciate your time, and thank you to everyone who joined today.
Thank you to everyone.
All right. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you.